1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. Abdallah, when you promote a rebuild, the key here with the rebuild is there's never a end date to said rebuild. And here in Chicago, if you continue to say we are rebuilding, it just continues to push it off into the future. Why? Because when you kind of look at a team and you look at a season, there's no consequences to having to do something. You're just rebuilding. You're just pushing it out in the future because guess what happens? An injury here, an injury there. Oh, we don't know what we're doing. And now we're 18-30 on the season. I get it. The Bulls win last night, 118-106. Zach LaVine was fantastic. 44 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. But if you look at last night's game and the way the Bulls played, they played great in the third quarter, outscoring the Cavs 40-19. But I could not watch yesterday's game without thinking about what I saw on Friday night, where the Bulls lost to the Kings, and Zach LaVine didn't carry this team in the fourth quarter, and they didn't win the ball game. And on a weekend when you're playing two teams who are under 500, who are not in the playoffs, and you have the ability to catch a game on the Brooklyn Nets, who are eighth in the Eastern Conference, I keep going back to the thought of, well, the Bulls are rebuilding. And when you don't put actual consequences on a season, you can continue to push that idea out further down the road. Why? Because if we look at this Bulls team, they're riddled with injuries this season. So once again, we can point to, well, they're rebuilding, and it didn't break their way. And what, guess what happens? We kick it down the road for another year, and we get that same answer from the front office and the organization in this offseason, right? Isn't that what's going to play out here?
Well, Chris, this is the first weekend without real football going on. I was watching the Senior Bowl yesterday. The Pro Bowl's on today. But in between the Senior Bowl and the Bulls game, not a lot on.
Right.
Not a lot on. So what do I put on when there's not a lot on? HGTV. Love me some renovation shows, right?
Sure.
So yesterday's Bulls game with Zach LaVine scoring 44, it's great. That's putting new tile in the kitchen. Anybody can put in new tile in the kitchen. Completely redoes it. You paint the
subway
cabinets.
Tile?
Yeah,
that's
subway
very big
tile.
Now, from
you
what
get a
I
new
see
backsplash.
On the shows. Yeah.
You paint the cabinets. It looks great. It's
right.
Cosmetic, right? But the Kings game, that's water damage in your basement. That's going to set you back 10 grand. That's a problem. So when you look at this, yeah, it's a rebuild that keeps happening. Oh, we put some subway tile up. We painted the cabinets. This is all good. But ultimately, the rebuild's not over because we just found water damage. Like, we can't move this beam because it's weight support. What are you going to do now? Well, we got to move a support beam over here. We got to do all this. It's going to cost you an extra 20 grand. You just keep pushing the rebuild along because guys get hurt. You don't get to see them play with each other. You see,
what?
Now, you heard me. You see now Lauri Markkanen's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. That delays this development. He's regressed this season, whether he's not been playing well because of this nagging injury, or maybe he's just not the player the Bulls thought they were, or maybe Jim Boylan can't develop players like the Bulls hoped he could. But you see these guys not mesh. And this is a front office that has relied on the Derrick Rose excuse since Derrick Rose left. It's always a, well, we haven't, you know, Derrick getting hurt really set us back. Okay, well, now what? Lowry getting hurt really set us back. We can't do this. They just keep pushing this along, and the excuses keep piling up, and Lowry getting injured, and this Zach LaVine playing well without him, but not playing well against the Kings. This is all just pushing along the rebuild, and what we're going to see from the Bulls moving forward is just, well, you know, there were 6 weeks in there where Lowry didn't play, and if we would have had Lowry in there, maybe we would be a playoff team. So we're going to stick with this core because we believe that once everything comes together, once we get the new foundation and once we put in the new tile and once we add in a second bedroom and we knock down this wall, we open up the concept. Listen, this house is going to sell eventually. Trust me. This house is going to hit the market. It's going to sell. But until it does, we're just going to need to rebuild. Oh, man, the roof. Oh, well, now we need to add new shingles on the roof because now there's roof damage.
Do you ever take 290, the Eisenhower?
Uh-huh.
It feels like the last 10 years,
yes.
there's been construction,
yes.
right?
Like, yes.
And each time you see an article about it and you hear something new, they tell you that, oh, wait, there's actually, it's 2024 when we'll be complete with the Eisenhower, when it connects to Congress and all that interlooping down there by the old post office, right? Like, all that stuff, like, it continues to get pushed off into the future. And you're right, mm-hmm. Abdallah, because that's what we have here with the Chicago Bulls. If you want to talk Chicago sports with us, call us at 312-332-3776. You can also tweet at us on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Bleck. Like, that's how I feel this is, because the Bulls always have an excuse. But in the NBA, teams just try to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is no rebuilding period. There is no just wait for guys to develop. That's a lie that you tell a fan base. And like, the fan base is a passionate fan base here in this city, because you get stuff like this. Last night, the Chicago Bulls, after Zach LaVine's game, they tweet out, Zach joins Michael Jordan as the only players in franchise history to record 44 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists in a game. And they also tagged it with a picture that has the All-Star logo. Zach LaVine is an All-Star. There's a faction of the fan base that, one, believes it, that Zach LaVine's an All-Star. Two, think that Zach LaVine is a star, period. And three, think that the rebuild is going in the right direction. And I think that all three of those things you could point to and say that, yeah, they're not really true. I don't think Zach LaVine really is an All-Star. He's a guy putting up big stats on a bad team. Right? Like, if Zach LaVine really was an All-Star, wouldn't the Bulls be in the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't they be at least the eighth seed? And I know you're only three games back of the Brooklyn Nets, but if you do that, if you're at least the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference, guess what? Zach LaVine will get the recognition he deserves. But to me, when you see him play on Friday night against the Kings, which was super disappointing, and then you look and you see what he did last night against the Cavs, yeah, he was very good last night. Absolutely. I don't disagree with you one bit. He's not a number one star, and he's not an All-Star.
Mm-mm.
And that's the end of the conversation. And guess what? This team with him as the best player, they're not going anywhere.
No.
And that whole renovation conversation that we're having with this team is they seem like they're stuck. There's not really anything they can do right now, because as we head towards the trade deadline, you only have a couple of assets that people want. Thaddeus Young, who's having a disappointing year. Chris Dunn, who's a defensive skill player who gives you nothing offensively.
Mm-hmm.
And what? You don't really have a whole lot when you look at this team and you look at it going forward. Maybe Denzel Valentine to somebody. But Valentine doesn't play at all for this team. Boylan doesn't use him. And when he's out there, it's kind of so-so. Sometimes he's okay. Sometimes he looks like a bonehead who's running around out there. So, but true, like, when he plays, sometimes he makes great plays. The other times, you're like, this guy's not a professional NBA player. So, like, what assets do you have? You are rebuilding. You have young assets, yet no one wants any of the stuff you've collected. You know what I mean? Like, so what is this renovation project? What is this rebuilding project? Because guess what? At the end of the day, the front office continues to say, well, we're rebuilding. So guess what? It gets pushed down another year down the road.
He's a great three on a team, third option on a team, on like a championship team. He's a really good second best player on a playoff team, right? But him being your number one is a problem. They don't have anything to trade. Really, if you were going through and you really wanted to start the rebuild all over again, you would trade him. You would trade Zach LaVine at the deadline, because you would say, hey, we're going to stick with Lauri Markkanen, and he's going to be our guy. We're going to get him healthy. And Zach LaVine, sorry, but you're our best player and we don't want to be a middling team. So we're going to get rid of you and we're going to tank hard this year. It's not that great of a draft this year. It's not like there's a Zion Williamson in this draft, you know, but ultimately if you want, you can't just be the last team out of the playoffs every single year drafting seventh overall, because this is what you get. You get a team. Because if you continue to do that, that's what you are. You know, you can't just keep pushing the goalposts back and moving them back.
But that's exactly what they do.
I know.
And that's why rebuilding in the NBA is such a lie to the fan base. Because you can continue to say that you're doing it, and mm-hmm. there's never an end date, right? Like, as long as you say, it reminds me of James Cameron in his Avatar movies. Like, he dude's been working on Avatar 2 for what? 10 plus years?
Well, he's exploring the depths of the ocean,
but
Chris.
Adam,
it takes time.
When Avatar 2 comes out, he's going to have Avatar 2 and Avatar 3 and Avatar 4 all in consecutive years,
yeah.
because of all this prep work.
What's wrong with that?
What? No, because it continues to get pushed back. You don't actually ever see it. And guess what? When you do see it, you're not going to care.
Probably not.
Not at all. Do you care about Avatar? No.
No.
People are now outspoken about how they don't care about this Bulls team. That's not how this city should be.
No.
Like, in the winter, that's the team. That's what we care about. And the fact that you can go through a weekend against the Kings and the Cavs, you look bad at home against the Kings, you win a game on the road against the Cavs, and people seem to not care. You know why? Because they know it's just going to be, oh, here we go. We're rebuilding once again. Same people looking at this team, same rebuild. That's what we get each and every year. Seventh pick.
Well, that's what's going to happen is they're going to stick with this core. This is going to be John Paxson at the end of the year is going to say, hey, you know, we had 6 weeks without Lauri Markkanen. If he would have played in those 6 weeks, we believe we would have been a playoff team. So we're going to run it back with this team. Jim Boylan's going to be back. Everyone's going to come back. We're going to add a grindy piece here or there, you know, someone who's maybe decent at defense, a player that nobody wants, essentially, that they'll get, some garbage player that they'll get, but they'll really push it, you know, and then Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen, they're the new subway tile. They're the backsplash. They're the open concept. But ultimately, if you have a crack in your foundation and you have water damage and you're not, and no one's going to buy this house anyway, what good does it do?
That's Adam Abdallah. I'm Chris Bleck. John Paxson addressed that last April. We'll hear from him next.
You're listening to Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chris Bleck, Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. If you look at the standings in the NBA, look at the teams in the playoffs right now. If the season ended today, which teams are the teams that completely tanked out and rebuild for many years to kind of come to what they have? Maybe the Denver Nuggets. That's a team built from the ground up, right? Like, you could maybe make the argument that Memphis did it, but they also landed Ja Morant in the draft, and that's why
Portland. They
are where they're at. Portland built their team, yeah, from draft picks, but they never tanked out. They were consistently about a playoff team for all their run. If you look at the Eastern Conference, Orlando is kind of built within guys that they've drafted and developed. And then, you know, you can look at Giannis, but the Bucks were never the worst team in the Eastern Conference. So Milwaukee isn't even an example there. So like the idea of we are going to rebuild and continue to collect young pieces to then one day hope it develops into something, I think it's a lie to Bulls fans, because guess what? It just builds in the excuses when things during this development period and during the rebuild don't go right. Mm-hmm. And Bleck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, we're talking Bulls with you at 312-332-3776. John Paxson in April talked about this at the end of last season, how they haven't had a healthy team since the Jimmy Butler trade. That was April 11th of last year, after the season ended. The excuse was how the team wasn't healthy last year, so we need to wait for this group to get healthy to see what we have. Think about that. With the team this season and all of the injuries they have this season, Markkanen, Carter, all of the different injuries this season. Here's John Paxson from April 11th.
We knew when we went to trade Jimmy that it wasn't going to be easy. I think this year was difficult from the standpoint that we had four injuries to key players that you can't anticipate. Lowry went down the third practice of training camp and with an elbow injury that happened in a scrimmage. Denzel's out the entire year with ankle surgery. Then Wendell falls in L.A., breaks his thumb, and Chandler breaks a toe. Those are four injuries that ended up being, you know, three of them were season-ending. For a team that's trying to grow and develop, that makes it very difficult. And as you saw, as the season went along and we got toward the end, we were rolling out players that, you know, that we didn't want to necessarily have playing games for us in that regard. We wanted to see our entire roster together. That's the thing. So rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap. And I did tell the players, you know, and you've heard Zach's commented on, you know, he wants to be a playoff team next year. I think our goal next year has to be in the hunt. We want to be in that hunt again. Now, that's going to take us being healthy. That's the first and the first thing in this whole thing. And, you know, and hopefully we'll get a little luck in that regard. But the four major injuries we had this year were things we couldn't account for.
So that was John Paxson, April 11th, the press conference at the end of the season. Health and luck is what we need for this season for the team to be, quote, in the hunt. He wouldn't commit to the playoffs, but in the hunt. Three games out of the eighth
they're
spot
in the hunt.
Eastern Conference.
That's
is
hunting.
That in the hunt?
That's hunting season.
So they're right on track.
Yeah.
They're right on track.
But then when they fall now because the Pistons will get better, the Wizards will move up. Because if you don't, like, LaVine can't put up 44 a night.
No.
You're like, it's not going to happen. And without Lowry, and I know he's been struggling this year, but that's 15 to 20 points a night that you're just not going to have, right? And there's no one on this team that's going to make that up. There's no one is good enough on this team to step up that's going to make that up. Yes, Satoransky had a great game, had a 19 points yesterday. But what good is that going to do? You know, he's not going to do that every single night.
No, he's averaging 10 on the season.
Exactly. So you had a great game by your team yesterday against the second worst team in the East. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You put up new tile.
Another team that's rebuilding with a bunch of young players.
Yeah.
You know, a backcourt of two guys that were drafted in the last two drafts. Let's go to Josh in Park Ridge. He called 312-332-3776. Josh, you're on the ESPN 1000.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Hey, love the show. Love your work on the weekdays, too, behind the glass.
Thanks, Josh.
So, calling in to say that the main thing that we need to see the Bulls do is to get rid of John Paxson and to completely overhaul the organization. Because, seriously, those excuses about luck and injuries sound like somebody who is banking on keeping a job without having to earn it. We need to draft differently. We need to do player development differently. And the fact that we're chronically injured is a reflection of the organization as much as perhaps the drafting of the players. And so I think we just really need to do that. The other side of this is the time to burn it all down and start over because, you know what, the rest of the league is so top-heavy. How in the world are we going to break through on the Eastern Conference side, let alone on the Western Conference side? So I think it's time to take our hits, take our lumps, and build for another era. That's what I got to say.
Thank you, Josh. We appreciate the phone call. And, you know, and that's where I get it. If you try and rip it all down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you say we are going to tank the rest of the season because the rest of the league is top heavy, like Josh said. I'm not sold that that's even a good solution anyway, because look at other teams. Other teams who are good in the league, those are teams who have acquired assets and found a way without having to do so. Most notably, Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Houston has the players that they have, not because they tore it down for a rebuild. You know, like, same with Miami. Miami's not a team that tore it down to then, like, both of those franchises are trying to win each and every year. And for the Bulls' playoff hopes, you know, today they're three games back of the eighth spot in the Eastern Conference. Something to keep an eye on here over the next few games, because they have 17 games at the end of the season. So if you go to March 12th at Orlando, they finish out the season with 17 games from March 12th to the end of the year. 15 of the 17 games are against playoff teams to end the season.
Yeah, it's going to get ugly.
15 of 17 are against playoff teams to end the season.
And those are going to be teams that are jockeying for position, all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
They have 17 games left before that point. And before that point, they have only 10 games against teams who are not in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So you really are up against it here. 34 games left, 24 against playoff teams, 10 against teams who are not currently in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so those 10 against teams that are not in the playoffs, that's not taking away the Pistons or any teams who are fighting against you for that eighth spot in the Eastern Conference. So, like, the Bulls are really up against it because they're a couple guys down, and health, once again, not on their side. And who do you blame for that? Like, is that just luck that health isn't there? Or is it the way they're constructing these teams?
Well, I also think that when you look at what the Bulls can do, you know, looking at the trade deadline, obviously they're not going to trade Zach LaVine. He's their best player. He's the draw now that Lowry's out. Like, he's going to be the guy. Like, there's been pictures going around, you know, every home game, empty seats. Oh, finally the front office might get the message or whatever. They're still eighth in attendance. Their building is still 91% full at average every single night.
Yeah.
People are still going. So the I'm not saying it's a myth that people have stopped going because they've always been number one in attendance, you know, the past few years. Yeah, they've fallen. They're still eighth in attendance. I mean, they still lead. You know, they have more attendance than the Lakers, the Knicks. They have more attendance than teams that are decent. You know, like the Lakers are a top team. Like, they've got the draw. They've got LeBron. They've got AD. They're not. They're number 10 in attendance. So they're only 95% full. So, but they still have a bigger building. But still, they're only 10th in attendance. So when you look at these numbers, people are still going to games. So they're not just going to bottom out and tank because they're still getting people to come to these games.
I think the Bulls have the biggest arena in the league, by the way. I agree with you, though. The attendance drop is bothersome, but will that make them want change? Because I think that's the key. Change has to come from the top with this organization. Let's go to George in Old Town. He called us at 312-332-3776. George, you're on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, I can't believe how they get free agents and draft choices. I mean, look at the Bucks. They picked up Kyle Korver. Why didn't we get a shot at a three-point shooter? We only have LaVine shooting from the outside. Marketing can't hit it anymore. Maybe he's hurt. I give him the benefit of the doubt. But matchups, they also pick up, the Bucks also pick up the 6'8 Marquette kid, who can defense a LeBron. What are they thinking when they pick the talent that they're doing? They're not thinking about how the game is changing from a defense and a three-point stance. It's pathetic. And Boylan, he's terrible.
thank you, George. And speaking of, let's hear from Jim Boylan. Happy that the team responded.
Oh, man.
Last night.
Great win. Just as a team, I think we were frustrated. That's nothing, you know, Sacramento played hard and they played well. We felt we left some stuff on the table and that we could have played better. And we talked about that and we moved on.
Ah, they talked about it. Boylan also talked about the good third quarter for the Chicago Bulls.
And then our start of our third quarter. You know, we struggled in the third, as you all know, and I was happy with the way we played in the third. I thought the ball moved, and I thought we made good decisions. We finished plays. I thought Luke had a terrific third, along with the rest of our guys. KD's defense was, for a couple plays, I thought he covered the whole floor. So we got a lot from a lot of guys. I said before the game that our team was frustrated after last night's game, and I thought we responded. And I'm really happy for that. Happy for them.
Jim Boylan, last night after the win, the Bulls beat the Cavs after they lose to the Kings on Friday night.
They played the third worst team in the league.
Yeah.
They're the third worst team in the league. They're fighting for the number one pick.
Yeah.
They're trying to lose.
Yeah, good win.
No, it's not a good win.
Yeah, why not? LaVine, 44 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. You get 19 from Saransky. You get 11 points from Thaddeus Young. You know, you got to get some points per game for Young here to prop up his trade value before the trade deadline. You get 10 from Chris Dunn. You get 8 points from Hutch. No. You get 8 from White. You get 9 from Archie Diakono on the bench. How about that? 40 points in the third quarter to 19 from the Cavs. That's good. It's a good win.
They lost to the Kings the night before.
Oh, yeah. No, I watched that. You know, and like that's where you get this whole vortex of Sea Red Nation where Bulls fans only want to celebrate the 18 victories.
He's an all-star.
But they ignore the 30 losses. And that's where we get to Zach LaVine because I see the 44 points. But if you watch the game, a lot of his production is just ISO stuff. And he's not getting anyone else involved. I get it. 8 assists last night. Great. But look at the actions on the court. It's him doing one-on-one maneuvers to get his points. Let's go to Tony in Waukegan. You're on ESPN 1000.
Nope, Tony dropped.
Tony dropped, and his what Tyler wrote for his subject as a call is the Bulls are looking for their Michael Jordan replacement.
I don't – look, the problem – the problem with
– Yeah, go ahead.
I was interested to hear what he had to say.
Their Michael Jordan replacement. I agree. Going to be playing in the All-Star game for the Pistons.
No, it's not Derrick Rose. The Bulls do need their Michael Jordan replacement.
Yes, they'd be great if they found someone that was as good as Michael Jordan.
That's the solution
to
here.
To replace Lauri Markkanen while he's hurt.
Wouldn't that solve all of our issues?
I think if you could get like
the next Jordan.
Yeah, find the next Michael Jordan. Go back in time, draft LeBron.
Don't even go back that far.
Just draft Luka. Go back and draft Luka Doncic. You know what? Be a little bit worse.
Yeah.
Draft Luka Doncic.
The next Jordan. That's what I want.
Yeah, and they'd be fine, right?
I think so. I think the next Jordan would be good.
I don't see why not.
I think that would make a lot of sense for this team.
I don't see why not.
All right, Black and Abdallah Sports Center next.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, it's Chris Black and Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. Sox Fest is over, Abdallah. White Sox weekend. It was only Saturday and Friday. That's all they have.
Yeah.
But guess what? Sold out.
That's all you need.
People are pumped.
Yeah.
Expectations through the roof.
I think they actually carried Rick Hahn out on their shoulders. I think fans were carrying Rick Hahn out. They had Jerry Reinsdorf on a set of shoulders. It looked like Ditka and Buddy Ryan when they got out of Sox Fest. Like, that's how happy White Sox fans are.
Pretty amazing for a team that's accomplished nothing and only won 72 ball games last year.
What's crazy is the difference in the two Saturdays. So last weekend when we were talking, like, at this time, we were just playing Sound of Cubs fans booing Tom Ricketts. And this weekend, they're carrying Jerry Reinsdorf and Rick Hahn off on their shoulders as they turn off the lights at Sox Fest.
You know, and like, the good vibes are fantastic, but like, if you go to Vegas, you look at the odds for regular season wins and the win totals, the White Sox still have a lower win total than the Chicago Cubs.
That's fine.
Even though both weekends seem so dramatically different, right? The Cubs right now in Vegas, the over-unders sit at 85.5 wins. The White Sox are set at 83.5. So, I mean, if you believe that Vegas knows what they're doing with baseball win totals, you would say they are suggesting that the Cubs will be a better team than the White Sox will be this year. But if you look at the two different weekends, you're right, Abdallah. It seems like two completely different attitudes from the fan bases. Speaking of, Rick Hahn on Thursday, when he met the media, talked about the team's high expectations coming into the 2020 season.
Let's put it this way. I think the expectations are understandably high, at least when you talk to Ricky or the coaches or any of the players or anyone in uniform. Their expectation is that this team is in a position to win in the 2020 season, during the 2020 season, which is exactly where all of us in the front office would want them to be. That said, you know, whether you're talking Jerry or Kenny or myself, the entire purpose of this rebuild was to put ourselves in a multi-year position to win multiple championships. So the progress that we make in any given offseason has to be viewed not just about what's going to happen in that upcoming season, but what position that puts us in towards accomplishing that long-term goal. We want to make sure that we are well-positioned once that window opens to win as many championships as possible. When that window opens, we're going to find out together. I certainly think the players in uniform think it's going to happen come opening day of this year. Whether we're blessed with good health and continued progress from our young players, we're going to find out together. But we look at it in the front office from sort of a multi-year perspective. The guys in uniform are going to do everything in their power to make it about now, which you got to appreciate.
Rick Hahn on Thursday. I like his measured approach to the season. Mm-hmm. There are high expectations for this team, but like we were joking about, they only won 72 games last year. So the win total in Vegas being at 83.5, that's over a 10-game jump if they were just to get to the push line of 83, right? So like, I like the way Rick Hahn is approaching this, at least publicly, to the consumer, right? The baseball fan, the White Sox fan, we're all dreaming of bigger things this season. We're looking at this lineup, we're saying they should have one of the best lineups. If all these young prospects and Robert and all these guys hit,
and Moncada and Anderson and Aloy, all of them, they all hit and they're all what we think they will be. This team's going to be it's going to have an awesome lineup, and we'll see how the pitching rotation comes together with some of the arms that are going to be added to this group. That should be enough to be a playoff team. But again, you only won 72 games last year.
Yeah.
So the jump is huge to get up to that point of the playoffs. I like the measured approach from Rick Hahn.
I compare this to 2015 for the Chicago Cubs, right? When the Cubs in 2014, they won 73 games. So in 2015, they lost the NLCS. Like, if this team can overachieve, make the playoffs, win of the first series and win a playoff series, that's overachieving to me. You want all these guys to come together. Next year is going to be the year that we're talking playoffs, ALCS, that kind of stuff, right? But if everything goes well, if everybody stays healthy, there's no reason why this team can't compete for a playoff spot. There's no reason why this team can't win a first round of the playoffs, because I look at the feelings that Cubs fans had going into that 2015 season, you know, when Cubs fans were at their convention and they were going crazy because all the prospects were finally coming up, all the signings were coming together, all that kind of stuff. And then you look to what the White Sox had this weekend. Everybody's sunshine, puppy dogs, all that good stuff. Everybody's happy and getting ready for this season.
Right.
Everybody, the expectations couldn't be higher. And that's great. It's great for White Sox fans. It's great to have, you know, excitement on that side of town. It's something that they've been waiting for a long time, to have this all finally come together. And should they make the playoffs, should they get into the first round of the playoffs, that would be great for them. But to me, it's still overachieving. That's why I compare it, because nobody expected the Cubs to go that far in 2015. They obviously won the whole thing in 2016. And then have regressed since. But they don't want, the White Sox don't want to build this for something that, like Rick Hahn mentioned, they don't want to be a one and done. And when you build for success, when you stay true to a process, like the 76ers have said for a while, trust the process, you have to trust this process. And they're not going to get, you know, crazy with the signings. They're not going to do anything that they don't have set in their plan, because as of right now, everything is working according to plan. And if it all comes together, then this team can be very good this year. This team can be really, really good next season.
You know, a couple of teams have been in the mix the last 4 or 5 seasons as far as championships concerned in baseball. It seems like there were two different ways to get there to a World Series, right? Mm-hmm. You have the Red Sox in 2018. You have the Nationals this season. The Dodgers made multiple World Series. They didn't win, but they lost in those World Series. They got there, though. And then in 2017 and 2016, you have the Astros and the Cubs. So the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Nationals, the Astros, and the Cubs. The Cubs and the Astros were built in a similar fashion, right? The whole tanking out, collecting draft picks, getting a young core to rise up together to then make that run. To me, the way the White Sox have been built is a lot like what we saw in 2016 and 2017 with the Cubs and the Astros. The other thing to consider, though, during that time frame was that it wasn't just that was the only way to win a baseball world championship.
Mm-hmm.
There was the Dodgers way of doing things, stellar farm system, spending in free agency, making all the moves, the Red Sox way of handling things, and then also the Nationals as well, paying your own players, mm-hmm. not giving the $300 million deal to Bryce Harper, using your assets on starting pitching and other spots. So, like, I felt like we were entering a time heading into 2016, like there was a movement, like a new way to win championships, right? And that's what the Cubs did, and that's what the Astros did. Mm-hmm. But really, if you look at the bigger picture, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, the Nationals, you don't necessarily have to tank out. And that's where I see what Rick Hahn has built with the White Sox, and I hope it works for them. But I'm not sold that, like, this whole concept of tanking to then build back up, which we saw successful in 2016, 2017, I'm not quite sold that, like, necessarily that's going to guarantee us that this White Sox team will be a playoff team, or will have a multiple championship run like Rick Hahn is talking about.
Well, and you mentioned the signing, like, big guys. Like they didn't sign Machado. They didn't sign Harper, right? They've been very conservative with what they've been doing, because they believe in their guys, and they believe in what they're going to do. So this is going to come to fruition. Maybe they do spend something, maybe next offseason, maybe they do something like that. Maybe they're in the Chris Bryant sweepstakes or something like that, you know, something big. Nicholas Castellanos hasn't signed yet. Maybe they sign him to a deal. You know, he likes Chicago, wants to stay in the city, whether he goes to the Cubs, Sox, the Rangers have been involved, that kind of thing. So there's still a few guys out there that they can add that can kind of maybe push this team over the hump. But to have the good expectations, to have the expectations from the fan base to compete is very good for this team. And it's good. It's a good test for these younger players to try to make the playoffs and to try to make a run in this playoffs, because a lot of baseball, like while fans expect that, a lot of baseball doesn't really expect them to kind of go far in the playoffs. Yeah, they can compete. Maybe they can win the AL Central, but ultimately, are they going to win a World Series this year? Probably not.
Chris Black, Am Abdallah here with you, talking White Sox baseball on ESPN 1000, 312-332-3776 is the phone number. Colin, listening on the TuneIn app in Vegas, joins the show. Colin, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
I'm great, man. What's up?
Hello. I was just going to say, you know, my expectations for the Sox this year are just to compete. You know, if they can compete for the Central, terrific. You know, I don't think – I'm not looking towards the ALCS or the World Series or anything. I think, you know, we as Sox fans have been calm, cool, and collected about this whole thing, this process. And I think Rick Hahn's been doing a great job, because I think Kenny has finally been staying the heck out of the way and you know, and Rick – and been able to actually make, you know, good pickups. I like what we've done in this offseason. It's been good. It's, you know, I think we're moving in the right direction. But – I don't want to be overwhelmed or think that they're going to, you know, win the series this year. I just want to see them compete and, you know, just be there, you know.
Do you think, Colin, do you think,
I think it's going to get better.
Do you think they go over the 83.5?
They might. I don't know. I mean, it just, we got to get back to the timely hitting, you know. It's, you know, and we have to, and then pitching obviously has to step up, you know, big for us, because that's been an Achilles heel, you know. The good old days of Burley being done in an hour 45, you know, throwing 92 pitches is just, you know, those days are done. So we have to, you know, we have to just be realistic here and, you know, see what they can do, because they can do it. But then again, you know, I like Ricky, but I'm still not sold on the guy, because, you know, all the bunting we were doing in the past couple seasons, it's just been really frustrating.
Really appreciate the call, Colin. I agree. I miss the Burley days of the 90-minute baseball game. Ah, the
and,
good old days.
Shout out to Gideon Hoiberg listening. He says this is our – he's a Sox fan, obviously. This is our 2015. The Cubs win total starting in 2012 when Theo took over, 61, 66, 73, 97 in 2015, 103 in 2016, and then it obviously just goes down from there. But ultimately, like, this is the – this is their 2015 for the White Sox.
Oh, yeah. And then also in 16, the Cubs win the World Series. 17, mm-hmm. the Astros win it. Yeah, but they were cheating. Does that really enter into the equation? Dallas Keuchel addressed that at Sox Fest this weekend. We'll hear him next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. In 10 minutes, we will talk about the Chicago Bears. Ryan Pace, be bold this offseason. The Senior Bowl was yesterday. We will talk about the Senior Bowl, some quarterbacks that we saw, and what Ryan Pace should do. And then also, are the Bears okay this morning? Are things okay? Something's going on.
Someone needs to check in on the Bears right now.
We'll keep an eye on what's going on their Twitter handle.
Go check it out.
Seems to be that they've been hacked. We'll follow that story as well throughout the morning.
Anything you're seeing on the Bears Twitter account is not true right now.
Yeah. ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. Black and Abdallah coming up in a couple moments. We will play the game, our favorite game, Good Question, here on ESPN 1000. But first, Dallas Keuchel addressed some of the issues. You know, obviously, he was a part of those Astros world champion teams that have now been caught cheating, and the cheating scandal in Major League Baseball. He's now a White Sox, the biggest signing of the offseason for the Chicago White Sox. They land
a starting pitcher to go into their rotation. Mm-hmm. And here's Dallas Keuchel at Sox Fest talking about how a lot of teams steal signs.
When the stuff was going on, it was never intended to be what it's made to be right now. And I think when stuff comes out about things that happen during the course of a big league ball season, it's always blown up to the point of, oh my gosh, this has never happened before. I mean, I'm not going to go into specific detail, but during the course of the playoffs in 17, everybody was using multiple signs. When there's nobody on base, when in the history of Major League Baseball has there been multiple signs? So you can go back and watch film of every team in the playoffs. There was probably 6 out of 8 teams using multiple signs. So it's just what the state of baseball was at that point in time. Was it against the rules? Yes, it was. And, you know, I personally am sorry for what's come about.
So Dallas Keuchel apologizing at Sox Fest this weekend, and also it just happened to come from the Astros. So basically other teams are cheating. It's just they're the ones who have been caught.
It just happened to come out with the Astros. And like I said, there's a lot of people that are sorry in that organization, including myself, for what happened. Do pitchers benefit from any of that? I mean, not really. But at the same time, we might have had a few runs more per game. In my instance, I did not. I was actually pretty mad about that. So that's kind of that. I didn't really enjoy that sometimes. But, you know, it is what it is. And it just happened to come out that Mike said something. And who knows? I mean, I don't think anybody else is going to come out and say something from other teams. I mean, they see what happens now.
Okay, so Mike Fiers is the one who came out. Keuchel on Mike Fiers.
That's a tough subject because there's such a tight-knit community in the clubhouse, and in baseball especially. You're playing 162 games at least in the regular season plus spring training, and then maybe in the playoffs if you're lucky. So you're pushing 185, 200 games. It sucks to the extent of the clubhouse rule was broken. I mean, and that's where I'll go with that. I mean, I don't really have much else to say about Mike.
So hearing from Dallas Keuchel at Sox Fest, it seems to me the Astros, even though he apologized, seem that other teams are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem here is that someone from within their clubhouse broke bad. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, is that the way you hear his comments? That's the way I hear it, is that someone broke bad. They were the whistleblower. And the way it rules in baseball is that if you were there and you knew what was happening, you don't say anything. And that's just the way baseball is.
This is like, you remember when you were in high school and you used to do there'd be that one kid that suggests that we do Operation Book Drop, you know, like where everybody kind of pushes their book off the table in like middle school.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Tyler producing the show. That,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Operation Book Drop is where everybody, you plan out where you're like at 7 or at 8:52, we're all going to push our books on the ground. It's going to make a really loud noise, except like one kid doesn't do it. Dallas Keuchel's trying to be that one kid.
Or one kid does it.
Yeah, or only one kid does it.
Which is even better.
Yeah. But you're like the guy that's like, well, come on, why am I getting in trouble? I didn't do anything. It didn't benefit me at all. Okay, you knew about it.
All right. Each time this week, Bleck and Abdallah, we play our favorite game. It's called Good Question. It's where we score points for the hosts here on ESPN 1000. And when we do this, what takes place is when a host asks a question to a guest on the phone and the guest responds to the question with good or great question, you get a point. Right now, who leads the way?
You!
Oh, really?
With 3.
Wow.
But
three,
I have a feeling that your reign is going to be short-lived.
Ah, and it's early. Here's good question.
Yeah, I got a question for you.
You're going to take any questions?
Do you want me to let me finish talking? You ask me a question, I'm going to answer it. Don't interrupt me, okay? Just leave it plain and simple, all right?
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
Own or rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
Yeah, I got a question for you.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
It's the question that drives us, Neo. It's the question that brought you here.
How could you ask me a question like that? What is my opinion of his performance?
I'm on Burgundy?
Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?
Well, I got a question for you. Can I get an answer?
Here is this week's edition of Good Question.
in Kansas City tomorrow, if the Chiefs lose today, what will the storylines be around Andy Reid if he loses once again in the AFC Championship game?
It's a good and horrifying question.
As far as paying Patrick Mahomes in the offseason, how is the team built and how do the Chiefs avoid turning into the Ravens when they had to pay Joe Flacco?
Really good question.
Doris Burke with us. They clearly need Joel Embiid, and the NBA clearly needs something, and that something is coming tomorrow. It is Z-Day, Doris, as we're going to be ZSPN one more time as Zion Williamson makes his debut for the Pelicans, a game you can see on ESPN. And I guess the question I have for you is we're talking about this debut in ways that we sort of talked about the debut of a guy named LeBron James a few years ago, and I'm not sure that's fair to Zion. What are realistic expectations for him as he begins his NBA career?
Boy, that is a great question.
Green Bay, they're talking about their windows open 14-4 this year. They're all excited as they move forward. Is their window half open or is it half closed?
Same thing.
It's a great question, Yurko. Look at you. What a poet.
Who wants this one tonight more? Is it Q coming back into this building or is it, you know, John McDonough? Or is going to say Stan Bowman or somebody else?
Oh, that's a good question.
In the context, Danny, of cheating the game, now we know how you feel about the steroid era. How do you process what has gone on recently with the Astros, and which is the bigger crime?
Wow. Boy, that is a really good question.
How do you feel about the whole unwritten rules stuff? You know, about the kid steals the ball. Okay, maybe other kids would, and Bruce Weber told them to, you know, kind of, hey, game's over, relax.
Yeah, that's a great question, Tommy.
If Robert does that, I know he still has to show you in spring training. So you got a long spring to go.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, with him signed and with the way he skyrocketed through the system,
yeah.
I mean, is it could you say, hey, I've got him penciled in opening day in center?
It's a great question.
Is there a face of the franchise Carmen. Right now, Brooks?
Now, look, if there's a face of the franchise, it's arguable. And I think that still has to play out. Certainly right now, Tim Anderson won a batting title. Yeah. He's himself. There's no apologizing for anything that he does on the field. And he's passionate. He plays a lot of passion. You know, he's a guy that's, you know, you look at our marketing campaign, we talk about changing the game. This is a guy that's changed the game. And, you know, so I would think probably TA right now, but he's not one that needs to hold on to that, you know, because we've got guys like Eloy that are going to be game changers. You know, we Yoan Moncada we haven't even talked about. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that evolves.
Huh.
And one of the storylines of the year is who is that clubhouse leader that takes those reins? It'll be really interesting.
Brooks Boyer from...
Oh, I know there's some guys that are working their way back or into the system for you guys, Rick. How do you balance guys developing or working back from injury in terms of minor leagues, using them in the minor league system, and then major league experience?
It's a real good question.
All right. There you go. And shout out to Nick for tweeting us the Shea one. He caught that one on the podcast. You can tweet us throughout the week when you hear a good question. Black and Abdallah coming up next.
You are listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is WMBF.